Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him. John said, 'Look on us,' and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." In verse number 10, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." I'd like to preach a simple message I've entitled, "So what did you expect?" So what did you expect? Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we bow into your presence today. And Lord, you know I am incapable of doing what you want done today. Incapable. I don't have the abilities. I don't have the talent. I don't have the mind. I don't have the stamina. But God, if we depend on you today, and if we put our faith in you today, faith is the victory. And Father, we trust you today to do what only you can do in hearts and lives. Lord, I can't change a person's life for eternity. I can't forgive of sins. I can't do anything, Lord, but you can. And Lord, we depend on you. We trust you today. We ask that God, you would work in our midst. And Lord, give us ears to hear your word today. Lord, there may be some that are listening through other means or some today sitting here in this service. And God, you want to do something in their heart because they have a need or you want them to accomplish a task. Lord, we love you today. We give you glory. Lord, I pray you bless your word as you've promised. And we are expecting great things from God, and we will attempt great things for God today. I love you today, and I honor you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what did you expect? Verse number 5, we find this man who had been sitting at the temple gate daily. And he had been there, and the Bible says that he had been asking of alms. He had a need. He had some things in his life that he was depending on others to meet. And Peter and John was walking in that day. And the Bible says in verse 5, "And it came to pass on the..." I'm in the wrong chapter. In the verse number 5, it says, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." He expected to receive something of them. Here we have somebody with a need. Has there ever been a time in your life that you had high hopes? Maybe it was a trip. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it was something you ordered on Amazon. Maybe it was something that you were trying for the first time. You had high hopes. But when it was all said and done, you left a little deflated. You know, I've been in that situation. I've been to places all over the world, and it's amazing. I've been to 19 countries in my life, and most of those countries I've been able to preach, and I've heard many stories, and I've read things about many of these countries, and sometimes you go and you're expecting to be a part and to see something, and you're looking really forward to it. And you get there, and it's like, is this it? Is this what, you know, it was hyped up, or it had a great story, but this was it. There's other places I've been to. Vicki and I and our family went to China in 2006, I think it was. And we eventually made it to the Great Wall of China. And by the way, that didn't leave us deflated. The Great Wall of China, it exceeded our expectations. It was amazing. It was incredible. And I've been to places where sometimes I left deflated and sometimes it met my expectations and it exceeded that. But sometimes in our life that happens to us. So there's been many times, maybe the packaging didn't match the contents. Maybe the hype was greater than reality. Maybe the promotion oversold the item. Maybe at home, maybe the home team fell short. And of course, I live in Cincinnati and that happens a lot. Maybe sometimes it exceeded the expectations. You received more than ever possible. Here we have a man who, the Bible says he was lame and he was expecting something. You know, it says he didn't expect much. He expected something. He didn't expect much, but he did expect something here. Anything. Anything he was asking for. Maybe it was above average or below average. Maybe it was better than most. What he needed here was alms. What he needed here was something to pay for maybe his lunch or to help him with a light bill or to help him with medication. But regardless, it wasn't going to last long what he was asking for. The Bible says, look at this verse. It says in verse number 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. What is the next two words? Of them. He was expecting to receive something of their power, of their ability, of their might. But what happened here is he got more than he expected. He got something greater than their ability and their might. But the goal here is that he was expecting something. And what I want to make the point, he was expecting the minimal, okay? He came that day expecting the minimal. It's just something. Just give me something to help me to last today. What I realized was there was more people expecting in this passage. Think about it. Here we have Peter and John. The Bible says they were going into the temple in the hour of prayer. They had just spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They had just spent time with him, and they walked with him, and they went on the mountain with him, and they fed the multitude with him, and they were involved in all this. They knew exactly what prayer could provide. They weren't going into the temple that day just because it was an average thing to do. They just weren't going because it was something that we needed to do. Man, they were going to pray, and they were expecting God to answer their prayers. So they were going, first of all, into this temple to pray. But what happened was they went by this man and he had asked for alms. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when Peter reached down to grab his hand, you know what he was doing? He was expecting God to do something he couldn't do. He was expecting God to give that man healing in his legs. Peter couldn't do that. Peter couldn't just blab the words and say these magic words and it happened. He was expecting God to do something that he couldn't do. Amen. You see, the lame man was expecting the minimal. Peter and John was expecting the miracle. Man, they were expecting the miracle. They were expecting God to do something, whether it be in their prayers, whether it be time in the temple, whether it be, I mean, they were expecting, what just happened in this passage? I mean, they were in the upper room and they were praying and they came out and the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and used them, and many people heard the word of God and they said, these people are drunk. Because they were speaking languages that they couldn't speak. Only through the Holy Spirit of God. And God did a miracle work, and thousands were saved and added unto the church. I mean, Peter and John wasn't going to church that day just because that's what they had to do, not because of that. That's what they normally did. They were going expecting a miracle. This lame man was expecting the minimal. Peter and John was expecting the miracle. Let me give you something else here. Verse number 10, we read in this passage, verse number 10, the multitude saw this happening and they got excited. Verse number 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. The people said, wow, I can't believe it. This guy that's been sitting there, and the Bible says later on that he was above 40. He had been there for over 40 years, begging and asking, or however long it was. He had been there for so long, and all of a sudden this thing happened, and they knew it was that guy, and they were wonder, and they were in amazement. Can I say this? They weren't expecting anything. You know, they were the devout Jews that were coming to pray. They were devout. They were going to do this. They were at the ninth hour. These people weren't slackers. They just weren't expecting. They just came to church because that's what they always did. They came to church expecting the same thing they had always got. They just wanted status quo. They wanted whatever they normally got. They were going to go to church. They were going to sit. They were going to listen. They were going to pray. They were going to go home. They were going to eat. They were going to go back that night. They were going to come on Wednesday. They were just going to do what God had commanded them to do, and they weren't expecting anything.
Right.
Status quo.
Right.
But God did a miracle. You see, by the way, everybody in this story, whether they were expecting, not expecting, it exceeded all their expectations. They all got in on this somehow. And I read that, and God started opening that up to me, and I started thinking about it, and the Lord said, Dale, you're in one of three categories.
Yeah, you're right.
You're either expecting the minimal,
right.
You're either expecting the miracle, or you're expecting the mediocre.
Yeah.
Status quo.
Wow.
And you know what? You're here today under the sound of the word of God.
Right.
And you came here today and you're in one of three categories.
That's right.
You're saying, Lord, I need something. Just anything.
Yeah.
You're here for the minimal. You might be here because you're always here. You're here because you just want status quo. You're really not expecting God to do anything. You're really not expecting much. We're going to sing three songs, we're gonna do this with the choir, these announcements are gonna be made, and you're here for the mediocre. But I wanna say today, we ought to come to church expecting the miracle.
That's right.
We ought to come to church expecting, I don't know what's gonna happen here today. It could be the mediocre, but I don't wanna come to church expecting it. I want to come to church expecting someone to repent of their sins, a wayward son or daughter to come home. I want to expect someone to be called into missions. I want somebody to be called in the ministry. I'm expecting hearts to get right. I'm expecting something today. What are we expecting today? What do you expect?
Yeah.
And so, in my own life, now I'm not here to yell at you and scream at you and make you feel bad. I'm just saying, who's the God we serve? Is he mediocre? Is he minimal? No, he's the God of miracles. He's the God that can do more than, I mean, he spoke the world into existence. He set the stars into place. I mean, he hung on Calvary and conquered sin and death and hell, and he rose again by his own power. I'm telling you what, he's coming again. He's a miracle working God. And we need to come expecting that. When you go into your Bible in the mornings and read the scriptures, are you expecting anything? When you get on your knees to pray, are you kneeling in expectation that the God of heaven hears your prayer and that's going to do something in your life? It's convicting to me. And I've really had to rethink my life. And I've really had to rethink the things that I'm doing and what I'm involved in, and say, Lord, I may not be much, I may not have a lot, I may not know a lot of things, but I need to be expecting and I need to be attempting. And so here we have people that were expecting the minimal, we're expecting the miracle, and that we're expecting the mediocre. You say, Brother Money, what does an expecting person look like?
Amen.
Well, I don't know. Be honest with you. When I was a kid, I remember it was a two-story house, and we slept on the top story. And we would, at Christmas time, open gifts, okay? But Dad would make us go down and sit on the steps, and he'd make us wait till he said go. And so we'd get up, and man, we'd be excited. Of course, you know, they would take their time, and we'd sit on those steps. I don't know a lot of things, but I know what an expecting child waiting for Christmas presents looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was eager. I was up. I was ready. I had what I needed to go take care of the task. I weren't late. I wasn't. And I weren't, and all that stuff. I was prepared. You say, Brother Money, what does an expecting person look like? Well, I don't know, but I know what my wife looked like when we were expecting our first child, our second child, our third child. You know what? We had that nursery built in the house. We had a crib there. We were ready. We had the walls painted, decorated. She had her bags packed, ready to go to the hospital, waiting for all these things to happen. I had gas in the car.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I was for the first child, third child. We stopped at the convenience store. We got some chips. You know, we did all those things. You know what I'm talking about, you that have children. First one, man, we was on high alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, expecting. Well, let me just share four thoughts this morning real quickly, and I'll be done, of what I think the Bible in this story helps us understand what expecting people look like, okay? First of all, we see in this story that expecting people, they look like, verse number 15. I think that's where I'll find this at. Verse number 15. He's given a testimony here, and he says, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Later on, it talks about them recognizing that they had been with Jesus. Can I say expecting people are simply ordinary people who have been with Jesus? That's what expecting people look like. They're ordinary people. Now, I didn't say perfect people. I didn't say people without problems, but ordinary people. And the Bible is full of ordinary, common people, run-of-the-mill, ordinary. They're just living their lives. But God used them to do amazing things. What made ordinary people become extraordinary people? Well, Jesus. Jesus made them that way. He is the sole reason. God made them that way. When God showed up on the backside of the desert, things happened. When God walked on the threshing floor, men became soldiers. When God entered the fiery furnace, people left unsinged. When God walked onto the boat, major things happened. When God crossed the road to Damascus, he called a missionary and reached many people all over the world. It's God that makes ordinary people extraordinary. And so can I say this morning that God uses ordinary people, people who are hurting. There's times of trouble. There's difficult situations all around us. There's people with heartache and pain. They need somebody that's been with Jesus. That's what people in remote villages in Asia need. People that have been with Jesus. That's what folks need in Africa. People have been with Jesus. That's what folks need here in Indiana. People that have been with Jesus. It's expecting people are just ordinary people that have been with the Lord. Because the Lord makes a difference. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I have little to no value. But little as much when God is in it. And the idea is making sure that we've been with Jesus. Number one, are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Number two, are you spending time with Him? That's who He's going to use. Those are what expecting people look like. Ordinary people who had been with Jesus. Let me give you this thought. Not only were they ordinary people who had been with Jesus, they were willing people who were in their place. Look at verse number one. The Bible says, now Peter and John went together into the temple, the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. This was an inconvenient time. This is what the faithful people did. They went in the ninth hour. And so they were in their place, but that's not everything. Look at verse number four. And Peter, look what Peter did. He said, fastening his eyes upon him, John said, look on us. Look on us. What he did was he made eye contact with the problem. He engaged in it. He engaged in the problem. It's one thing to be in our place. It's another thing to be engaged in the problem. You know what they tell us when we travel in the foreign field? Many of you have gone, I'm sure, and may have been on mission trips or whatever. But they tell you, if you don't want to give, what they tell me is not to give to the poor people. Because if you do, then you got floods of people. So what they say is, don't look at them. Don't make eye contact. Because as soon as you make eye contact, you're engaged. But you know what Peter said? Look on us. Look on us. You know, he was expecting. He wanted to do something. He was expecting God to do something. So he engaged in the problem. He got involved in the situation. He went further than just being on the pew. He went further than just sitting there. You need to be on time. He knew he needed to be there in time to pray. He knew what time it started. But it was more than just being there, faithful, but he was being faithful and engaged in the situation. You see, that's what I find expecting people are. They're not only ordinary people that have been with Jesus, they're willing people that were in their place making eye contact. Nehemiah made eye contact. Isaiah made eye contact. Jesus made eye contact. There were sheep that had no shepherd. There are missionaries are there so that you can have eye contact. Missionaries are here so that you can have eye contact. You send them out so that they can have eye contact. Are you willing to be in your place, and are you willing to be engaged, voluntarily involved in the problems? Number two, we see not only ordinary people that have been with Jesus, not only willing people who were in their place that were engaged, but obedient people who trust God and His Word. Obedient people who were willing to trust God and His Word. You see, it wasn't that Peter was just making a statement. Is that Peter was trusting what God had told him. He was actually trusting on the very words of Christ in what he could do. He was within the boundary of the Word of God. He was obedient to what God said, and the Lord allowed him to do those things. But sometimes we don't want to be in the boundaries of the Word of God. And by the way, the boundaries are pretty vast. But he was being obedient to the Word of God. Let me read this verse to you. It's in my notes. I wrote it down. Look at this verse. This is something that has arrested my mind recently. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall all men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured unto you." Now here's a verse in the Bible as just an example. It's 40 words. That verse is 40 words long. And the only word that involves me is one. Give. That's it. Give, the rest of it is what happens after I give. It is God's promise. It's what backs up that one word. So he says, give. One out of 40, and then the rest of it falls in place. Right. You see, that is being obedient to the Word of God. It's called stretching our faith. It's getting outside our bounds. It's called going beyond where we are today. Faith is trusting God's Word to the point that I act upon it, expecting God to stand by His Word and what He says. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon Him." Why? Because He careth for you. We're just obedient people trusting God and God's Word. So we find out that expecting people, or ordinary people, have been with Jesus, willing people that are in their place, engaged in the problems that we have, obedient people that trust God and His Word, and fourthly, worshipful people who give God the glory. Now look at this. Let me make this point. Let's look at verse number 12. Bible says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? And though as though our own power or holiness had made this man to walk." Now, listen to the wording here. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom He delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, whom He was determined to let go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here in this passage, there were seven names of God that were mentioned to these men. We have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, His Son Jesus, the Holy One, the Just, the Prince of Life, and God. You know what He was saying? It ain't us, it's Him. It's not us, it's the Lord. And He named seven of God's names to these people. And He says, it's Him that does the miracles. It's Him that gets the credit. It's Him that works through us. They were just ordinary people that were faithful, that were obeying His word, that gives God the glory when it's all done. You know what I've realized in my own life? I probably don't praise Him enough. I probably don't give Him enough credit. I probably do not worship Him enough. I probably do not mention His name like I should. But that's what expecting people do. Expecting people talk about Him. Expecting people glorify Him. Expecting people praise God. You say this morning, I want to be that person. Well, it takes ordinary people been with Jesus. It takes faithful people that's in their place, engaged in what God wants us engaged in. It takes obedient people, obedient to His word. And it takes people that glorify Him, that give Him the glory when it's all done. There was a man, he's a boy in England, who grew up to be a man. He was out of a poor family, didn't have a whole lot. He was born August 17th, 1961, in North Hampshire, England. His father was a parish clerk and a village schoolmaster as well. This boy was very inquisitive. He was a smart young man, but because of some physical issues, it limited him. He became a pastor of a small church there in England, and then took another church. And while he was there at the second church, there was a big conference coming, and the conference in that time of England, they did not believe in missions. They did not believe in sending the gospel out. And so this young pastor got up and stood up and started to say something. And one of the older men said, "Young man, sit down. When God is pleased to convert the heathen, He will do it without you, without your aid or mine." Later on, that young man had an opportunity to come back and to speak during a conference similar to this. And during that conference, he made this statement. He said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." We would know that as William Carey. That statement shook England. Many missions organizations were started. In one was the one that he went through to go to India. In his 40 years of service, he translated the Bible in 44 Indian languages and dialects. He completed dictionaries in four main languages, which are still respected today by authorities. He influenced a college. He established 19 mission stations. He formed 100 rural schools and encouraged the education of girls. He started a horticultural society in India. He served as a professor in one of the colleges in Calcutta. He developed a publication called The Friend of India, which today is called The Statesman. He printed the first Indian newspaper and provided a savings method for poor farmers. And he fought against the burning of widows, which helped lead to its ban in 1829. This was all accomplished because he expected great things from God and he attempted great things for God. You know, I have a choice today. I've got a decision today. I can decide to either expect the minimal. I can today expect the mundane or the mediocre. Or today I can choose to expect the miracle. What might God be pleased to do in our day if we expect great things from God and we attempt great things for God? You know, God uses those that are just ordinary people, been with Jesus. Faithful people, engage in the issues that He wants us to be engaged in. Obedient people, obedient to His Word. And worshipful people that give God glory. Can I ask you a question today? What category are you in? Are you minimal? Are you mediocre? Or are you in the category of a miracle? You know what? God wants to do a great work. He wants to do a great work here in this church, in this town, in this state, in this country. You know, we look out and it's pretty bleak. You know, we need miracles. It's only going to happen when God's people start expecting it.
That's right.
You know, here's this young man that got told no.
That's right.
But he kept expecting. And God used him in a way above his own means.
Amen.
And can I say this morning? Let's come expecting. Let's come expecting God. Maybe this morning you need to come to an altar expecting something from God.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in your personal life. I don't know what it is, and I don't know what God's going to do, but at least we can attempt, and at least we can say, Lord, this is what we're going to do. And we're just going to trust you at your word. Maybe this morning there's some areas in your life that you just need that miracle. Maybe you want to be used of God in a miraculous way. Why don't you come today? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these dear people. Lord, I pray this morning that during this invitation time that you would speak to hearts, that you would help us understand that, Lord, you're a God that wants to do great things. Lord, Peter was just an old fisherman. Probably his grandpa was a fisherman. His dad was probably a fisherman, and he was a fisherman. And that was what all he was going to do, but because he followed you and John and the rest of them, you did some extraordinary things in their lives. Lord, I think you're still calling those ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We got to trust you. We got to believe. Lord, today, would you work in our hearts? Would you move in this church? Lord, we expect great things from you. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, Pastor.